It's a story about seeing. Of course it is. Jesus and his disciples pass that blind man begging by the side of the road. Jesus smears some mud on his eyes, and when he washes it off, he can physically see for the first time in his life. Light and shadow, colors and shapes of all sorts come flooding in. And as the story progresses, he begins to see in other ways besides. First, he calls Jesus, who, as you may have noticed, is absent for most of the action here, simply a man. Later, he names Jesus a prophet, and by the end, he's speaking directly to Jesus as Lord. This man who began the story blind sees in more ways than one by the conclusion. That's, of course, the main action of the story, the man's journey from blindness to sight. But right alongside it, there's another journey besides, and it's just the inverse. The religious leaders presumably start the story with clear vision. They're the keepers of tradition, of centuries of hard-earned wisdom. They are the teachers in the community, the ones others look to for guidance. But as the story moves along, they seem progressively unable to see and understand what's really happening around them, so that by the end, they are the ones who are truly, in the most profound, all-encompassing sense, blind. It's a tricky story, and a beautiful one, with these two journeys from blindness to sight and from sight to blindness crossing paths. So yes, it's a story about seeing. Of course it is. But with John's gospel, a story is never about just one thing. There are always more layers to peel back, other angles to wonder about, further dimensions to explore. And today I see this as a story about certainty. Because, you know, I imagine everybody woke up on this particular day in this particular little village relatively certain about a whole lot of things. The sun rose. The streets slowly came to life with the old familiar sounds, the same bird calls, the same footsteps crunching in the dust, the same greetings in the street. The typical patterns of worship and leisure and study and caring for family members and friends stretched out the way they always did. Folks probably began this day fairly certain of all the fixtures of their lives and of the lives of those around them. The day begins like any other in this village, but right at the start, the presence of Jesus disrupts all of that. A man blind from birth can suddenly see, and it's like a stone has been dropped into this previously still pond, and there are ripples radiating out from the center, and everybody has something to say. The neighbors are all abuzz, uncertain at first if this man can possibly be the same one they're used to seeing begging. And the religious leaders go into interrogation mode, demanding to know who could have performed such a miracle and why it happened on the day of rest. The man's parents are afraid of getting caught in the middle of all the action, backing away and deflecting questions. It's this noisy, chaotic story, as I think we heard in reading it today, filled with characters who, for whatever reason, would rather cling to their certainties of how the world works than deal with the possibility of newness, of change, of transformation. Only the man born blind seems open to having his way of seeing things shaken up. Only he seems ready to step into a new and more gracious future. It's a story about how limiting our certainties can be, I think, and about how faith in the God we know in Jesus actually means to keep us always on our toes, ready for the disruption of new life. We all know religion doesn't always function in this way. In fact, religion all too often hardens into ideology, a closed system of certainty about the world and other people and how things work. It can become a kind of fortress, guarding the folks inside from all the complex and challenging world outside. And that's what we see in the religious leaders in this reading, right? They know all that they need to know about the world. They know who God can work through and when God can work, and anything beyond that closed system simply doesn't fit. Religion can and does go in that direction sometimes, but it doesn't have to. I often come back to a short poem by Yehuda Amichai that reminds me of the limits of our certainties. It's called From the Place Where We Are Right. From the place where we are right, flowers will never grow in the spring. The place where we are right is hard and trampled, like a yard. But doubts and loves dig up the world, like a mole, a plow. And a whisper will be heard in the place where the ruined house once stood. And the place where we're right, this poem says, the place where we've got all the answers and have nothing left to learn from others, nothing new will grow. That ground is trampled and packed and dry. But when we are open to being disrupted by questions, by doubts, by the surprise of love, all sorts of possibilities emerge. When we're open to saying, I don't know, maybe God is bigger than I thought. Maybe God is up to something new here. Then there's no telling what new and abundant life might take root. I can imagine a couple of different futures for the man born blind. In one, his experience of grace and healing flings his heart wide open and it stays that way. He becomes the sort of person who's always curious about the possibilities God's love makes possible for himself and for others, who's ready to listen, who's ready to be disturbed, yet again by the surprising power of God. And I can imagine another future too, where his genuine, powerful experience hardens into its own kind of ideology, where because of what he's seen in his own life, he becomes utterly sure about everybody else besides. About who's in and who's out, who's deserving and who's not. I can imagine a future where he becomes bound in his own kind of certainty. It happens all the time, which is why we need doubts and questions and loves breaking up the hardened ground in each of us. It's why we need the surprise of Jesus again and again, who does not simply operate by the systems and judgments we make up, whose grace is wider and wilder than we can grasp. He gathers us in, friends, and he calls us his own, disrupting our lives with love. Thanks be to God. Amen.